seat. Amen? It is so good just to be here and to see all of your faces. You just wouldn't imagine how odd it is having to preach to you and not being able to see any of you at any particular time. Today we are going to continue on in our sermon series called Back at It. Hey, Pastor David, could you give me a music stand there? Thanks. And the whole idea with this is that we recognize that, you know what, like, when we get out of our habits and our routines sometimes, it's real easy for us to sort of drift, right? Maybe you've never experienced that. Maybe this hasn't been that for you during COVID and everything. But I know just for myself, like I've seen where there's some ways where I just kind of experienced the drift, and this is not the first time that I've experienced this, right? I remember as a kid when I used to love going to church camp, right? Church camp was, I would go and I'd be able to connect with friends that I just don't have at home, right? And you're around people that they're all like, for the most part, they're all like at least trying to follow Jesus anyway, right? And you get there and you're just, everything is centered around following the Lord and everything. But then sure enough, you go home. And it ain't church camp at home, right? I don't know if y'all have ever been to church camp, but it's different than home, right? And then I'd get home, and you know, it's not like everything was terrible. Like, I was still, like, in a place of worship every Sunday morning, and not just because my parents made me, although that was the primary reason. But I didn't give them too big of a fit about it. I liked being there. But I also, particularly in my teenage years and early teenage years, I had a real foul mouth, like real foul mouth. Like I remember one time there was a guy in my neighborhood who was actually like the community bully, right? He lived just like a few houses up from me, and he actually said to me one day, and this is what kind of opened my eyes. He actually said to me one day, he said, "Tim, why do you cuss so much?" Okay, well, if the bully is asking you that question, like, that's probably, you probably ought to examine your life a little bit, right? So I don't know why, that was just something that was just a part of my vocabulary, if you will, right? And you know, there was one particular year where I went back to camp, and I heard from the Lord in a way like I had not heard before. And God just spoke into my life, and I actually surrendered my life to Him, like, fully and completely, right? Like no more of this, just like, well, maybe kind of a little bit or whatever. It was in that moment that I was like, Lord, I know that I'm hearing Your voice right now, and I know that I can't just continue with this drift anymore. And so I just actually surrendered my life fully and totally to Him, right? And it was amazing how once I did that, I began to see opportunities not just to grow myself, but to actually, like, impact and influence other people's lives as well, right? Now, I know for us, you know, particularly through all this COVID stuff, it would not be unusual for each of us to have a testimony of drift, right? We're out of our normal routines. We're not here to worship together. Online stuff is great. And for those of you who are worshiping online, I'm so glad that you are connecting with us online. I really am. But at the same time, I think we all know that it's a little bit different online than it is actually in person. It's different when you're sitting on your couch holding your phone than it is when you're, like, here and, like feeling the music and everything as well, right? Like, it is. And so then sometimes when the worship is different, like, the way that you live it out might be a little different as well. And it's not necessarily that you're, like, falling off the rails spiritually, but maybe you're just not reading your Bible like you used to, or you're not praying like you used to, and then even when it comes to, like, sharing a testimony with somebody, you're not even allowed to talk to anybody, so how are you supposed to share a testimony, right? Or how are you supposed to serve somebody if you can't get within 6 feet of them? And, like, I get, like, there's all these issues and everything with it. All I'm saying is that it's time that we get back at it, right? I mean, it's great that we're here in the building, and it's great that we're able to actually worship here and everything, but we need to get back at it spiritually as well. We need to recognize that the drift has to stop. We've got to center ourselves once again on who Christ is in our lives and then just dedicate ourselves fully to that. So what I want to do today, and here in just a moment we'll read it, we're gonna be in Revelation chapter 2, and in chapters 2 and 3, well, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but if you have your Bible with you, feel free to go ahead and turn your Bibles to Revelation 2. We'll have it on the screens for those of you who may be new here. And first of all, let me just say, I recognize there are several guests that we have with us today that are here in the building. And I just want to welcome you. I'm so thankful that God brought you here today. Amen. Amen. And so there's a guest information table in the back, and so I'd love for you to stop there, and if you'd like to find some more information about Houston First, feel free to do that. And even for those of you online as well, this may be your first time worshiping with us too. And so I'd love for you to just shoot me an email at pastortim@hfcog.org, or you can just go to hfcog.org, and all the information you would ever need is on the website there. And we're just so thankful to be able to, that God allowed us to connect with some new people today, and really, really thankful for that. So before we get into Revelation 2 here, let me go ahead and pray, and then we'll jump into the heart of our sermon here. Lord God, thank you so much for your presence here among us. Thank you, God, that we have your word and that we can hear from you. Lord, I pray, God, that you would speak through me even now, God, that my words would be your words and that your message alone would be proclaimed in this place. Father, I ask, Lord, that you would have your way, that your Holy Spirit would just be so active here, Lord, and help us, Lord, to submit to the leading of your Holy Spirit on our lives even now. Help us to say yes to you, whatever it is that you might be leading us into, however it is you might be guiding us, God, help us to say yes to you even today, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so let me just kind of give you a little bit of background here. This is what I was kind of jumping into a moment ago, but I'll tell you, I don't know if you can tell, I'm super excited to be up and see your faces and everything like this. I'm really going to try to slow myself down as I go. I didn't even have any coffee today, y'all. You don't want to see me caffeinated, right? So in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, there are letters that are written here to seven different churches, right? And two of those churches, they have a peculiar message to themselves. But for the five other churches, there's sort of a pattern that each of them fall into in terms of how it is that God is speaking into those churches. And the pattern kind of goes like this. It starts out that basically saying that these are the words of, and really the answer is Jesus, but they describe Jesus in so many different, like each of them has a different way that they describe him, right? So it says, these are the words of Jesus, basically to the church. And then it follows that up by basically saying, this is what you're doing well. Like, I love that you're obeying the word in this, and I love that you're hanging out with these people, and I love that, right? And so it kind of acknowledges, like, hey, you're doing some good stuff, really love that. But then it follows that up with, yet, I hold this against you, right? And then after that, it goes into, well, here's what you can do about it. And then kind of finally finishes up with, to the one who is victorious, in other words, to the one who actually does what I'm telling you to do, there are some benefits that come to you in doing those things. And so for five of those churches, this is basically the pattern of those letters there. What I want to do is I want to take the very first letter, which is written to Ephesus, in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And we're going to kind of break down the pattern just through the letter written specifically to Ephesus. And I would encourage you to go through and read actually both chapter 2 and chapter 3 and hear how God is speaking to them too. You're going to see some very similar themes there. But we're just going to focus on this one letter to the Ephesian church there. And so it starts out with chapter 2, verse 1, saying, these are the words of Jesus, right? So let me just read verse 1 for you of Revelation 2. It says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. Now, I want to just kind of take a pause here with each of these verses, and I want to take my time to break these down for you here, because I think it's important that we hear some things in this. First of all, it is super important that we recognize that these are the words of Jesus, right? It's super important that we recognize that Jesus is speaking into the church here in Ephesus. And I think it's important for us to recognize as well that Jesus is speaking into the church here today as well. Amen? Now, what we have to remember, though, because again, for some of you who may have been around Houston First for a little while, you know that we don't really like to talk about church as a building, right? But church is a people, right? So we don't go to church. It's actually biblically impossible to go to church. Rather, it is only it's only possible for us to be church, right? To be the church. And so here when we say that Jesus is speaking to the church, he's not just speaking to a worship service. He's not just speaking to a building. He's not just speaking to a sanctuary. He's speaking to a people. He's speaking to the redeemed, right? He's speaking to those that are saved by grace through faith. Like, he's speaking to us, right? We need to recognize how important it is to hear a word from Jesus. The reason why this is so very important is because otherwise we may find ourselves just comparing ourselves to other people, and that is a really bad way to live your life, right? Here's the danger in that, right? Because if all you're doing is comparing yourself to other people, then you see what they have and you don't have, and you think less of yourself. Or you see what you have and they don't have, and you have pride, right? You might see where some people are struggling and feel depressed that there is this kind of struggle in the world, or you may feel that struggle yourself and feel like nobody else has anything like that, and then all of a sudden you kind of sink in your own hole here. See, when all we do is compare ourselves to others, it really doesn't ever lead to a good place. When the only words that we are hearing are the words of other people, and then we evaluate those words based on our lives, that's a really dangerous place to be in. Because then we try to evaluate whether we are good or bad based on the people around us. But what is important for all of us to recognize is that Jesus said that none of us are good. Come on, I'll amen myself. Amen, brother, come on. None of us are good. None of us are good. We are all people who have fallen to sin, fallen to temptation at one time or another, right? And at best, we are saved by grace through faith. We did not earn this salvation. We did not earn the right to be able to go to heaven. We did not earn salvation here and now at all, right? It's not because we were good enough. It's only because we heard a word from Jesus. Right? It is so important that we recognize that we don't just hear a word from Jesus when it's time to get saved, but we need to hear a word from Jesus as we continue to walk this life of salvation. Right? And when we don't, even as a church, and this it is important for us to hear this, even as a church, if we aren't careful to listen to the words of Jesus and we just start comparing ourselves to other people, then even as a church, we'll look at another church and we'll say, oh, but their worship service is real tight. Oh, but their youth ministry is just killing it, right? Or oh, their kids ministry, they got a carnival in the back parking lot, right? Like we will find ways to compare ourselves, and we will see ourselves as not quite enough, or even worse, we'll look at somebody else and think, oh, well, we must be doing pretty good because they ain't got the chairs we got, right? They don't have the sound system we're bumping, right? Like we'll look at other people and we think, oh, well, we must have arrived because we have X, Y, and Z. When the truth of the matter is, the only thing that matters is hearing a word from Jesus. Amen? Amen. All right. So then the next part of that is then, he goes on then in, let me just kind of keep reading here. Verse 2 says, I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name, and you have not grown weary. Right? So here, Jesus is letting them know, like they're doing some things right. And so there's two really important truths that we need to hear in this, right? Doing several things well doesn't mean that we don't need any correction. Amen, Pastor. Keep on. That's all right. I'm going to amen myself through this whole sermon if I have to. Doing several things right doesn't mean we don't still need correction, right? Thank you. You responded to that prompt well. I appreciate that. Also, hearing correction about one thing doesn't mean you aren't doing anything well. And it's important that you hear that too, right? Because some people will get corrected about one thing. See, like the Ephesian church here, they could have, I'm trying to get ahead of myself here. Let me slow down there. It is important for us to recognize that just because we've got some good things going on doesn't mean there aren't some other ways that we still need to improve in our lives. Just because we are a part of a community group doesn't mean that we don't still need to work on our own personal spiritual disciplines. Just because we show up on a Sunday morning for a worship service doesn't mean that everything is all hunky-dory with us and Jesus. Like, it might just be that there are some other things that we need to focus on as well, right? Now, please hear me, church. I'm not trying to depress you today. I'm not trying to say, well, if you get one thing wrong, you just blowed the whole thing, right? Praise God that we are doing some things right. And I want to encourage you, church, we are doing some things right, all right? I have been so blown away by the way that so many of you have been reaching out to other people in this time that we've been not in the building worshiping together, and the way you've been serving others and loving others and giving to others and calling others, and like the way that you have been serving others has been absolutely amazing, right? We are doing some things well, and it's important to celebrate that. But it's also important to recognize that just because we're doing a lot of things well doesn't mean we don't also have some places to grow, right? Well, before I get too far ahead of myself here, let me go ahead and read verse 4. And in here it says, "Yet I hold this against you." Remember, that's part of the pattern here. Let me go ahead and finish reading the verse. It says, "You have forsaken the love you had at first." So again, let me just kind of follow up on that last point here. And that is to say that in hearing correction, that doesn't mean that every good thing you've done is for naught. All right? It doesn't mean that everything that you were doing well, because of this one thing, well, none of that other stuff matters. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not trying to get you so focused on what you're doing wrong that you lose sight of everything that God is doing well in your life, right? But we do need to take heed of those things that do need to be corrected, right? Here, Jesus tells the church in Ephesus, he says, I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Even last week, we talked about the importance of what it is to love Jesus, right? Loving Jesus is not the same as acknowledging that Jesus lived once. Loving Jesus is not the same as believing that he came to die for our sins. Like, loving Jesus is not the same as reading your Bible and having a time of prayer. Like loving there's actually to have a relationship with Jesus is so very important. Because without that relationship with Jesus, everything else can just become a box that you check off. And then we find ourselves all looking very much more like Pharisees than we do like Jesus. We look like religious people, when in reality, Jesus didn't do very well with religious people. Or maybe what I should say is that religious people didn't do very well with Jesus, right? Our goal is not to be religious. Our goal is not to look religious. Our goal is not to act religious. Our goal is to love Jesus, right? Imagine, for those of you who are married, if this is how you set up your relationship with your spouse, right? That if you just tried to simply acknowledge that your spouse existed, right? I think your spouse would probably want a little bit more than that, right? If you just committed to every morning waking up and just saying hello and then ignoring them for the rest of the day, right? Your spouse would probably have an issue with that. In a marriage relationship, there's love that is to be felt there. And all the other things that you do, like, they are an expression of that love. They are not in replacement of it, right? The Ephesian church had forsaken their first love. See, I think this is this is where we begin to see that they were experiencing some drift, right? We recognize there in verses 2 and 3, like they were doing some good things, like they had their deeds were good, they were moving in the right direction and everything like that. But however, they had forsaken their first love. It kind of even reminds me of 1 Corinthians 13, right? Where if you do not have love, you're basically just noisy. That's about it. You're a resounding gong, right? Don't get me wrong, it's a lot of noise and everything, but without love, like, what's the point? What's the point? The Ephesian church was doing some good things, but they had forsaken their first love. They had to find a way to get back to that. See, part of the reason I really wanted to get into this text here today is because I wonder if even in our time away, we have kind of sort of fallen out of that love a little bit, right? Maybe maybe there was a time where, you know what, we were really on fire for Jesus, and as we were here each and every week and involved in different ministries and those kinds of things, man, we were really at it, and we were doing everything we could to get closer and closer to Jesus. But then when that routine breaks, I just wonder if some of us didn't experience some of that loss of the first love, right? Because it didn't feel the same, we didn't do the same. We didn't maintain that relationship the same, because we weren't able to be together to encourage one another in that relationship the same, right? So then what do we do? What do we do if we've experienced some of that drift? What do we do if we recognize that, you know what, the Lord is speaking in my life, and he's showing me that there are some good things that are going on here, but at the same time, I need to correct some things as well. What do we do with that? Well, as we get into verse 5, it says, "Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will not come to you. I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place." So we have to recognize how important repentance is, even for the church. Oh, catch this now. This is so, so important. Because I think, I wonder if, I don't want to assume anything, but I wonder if, in my sanctified imagination, I just wonder if we don't see repentance as just that thing that worldly people do when they come to Jesus for the first time, right? Like that's just something people outside the church do in order to become part of the church, right? If you are not yet saved by grace through faith, and you repent, and that's what allows you to be part of the church, to be part of the mission, to be part of the army of God, right? Like that's what repentance is, to get in, right? But what we have to recognize is that this word is not being sent to the world. This word is being sent to the church. And by the way, it's being sent to a church that's doing some good things. It's being sent to a church that's actually, like, it's actually carrying out some of the goals of the word, right? Like it's producing some fruit, if you will, right? Yet the instruction that Jesus is giving into the church here is that they need to repent and get back to the love that they had at first. See, church, it's important for us to recognize that even as the church, sometimes we need to turn around. That's what repentance is, right? It's a change of direction. It means I was going this way. I realized I was convicted by the Holy Spirit. I recognized I saw some things that maybe I didn't see before. And then I changed my direction. I changed my mind. And now I'm going in a new direction, right? That is what repentance is. Here, the church in Ephesus is being told they need to repent to get back to their first love. Now, that doesn't mean that all the good things they had done before were bad. But in regard to their love, they were not where they needed to be, right? Church, I just wonder today, what is it that we might need to change direction on? right? I mean, we're so excited to be able to get back into the building and to be able to worship together and those kinds. And I'm excited about that too, but I'll be honest with you. If it's just about getting back into a building, I'd just rather stay online, right? If it's just about getting into a building, I'd just rather stay online because we're probably communicating some false assumptions about what and who the church is anyway, right? But if we recognize that there's something more at stake here, there's something more that's going on here, that it's not just about being together, but it's about being reconnected to God. It's about recognizing that wherever we may have drifted before, we need to acknowledge that and turn and go a different direction. It might mean that part of what we have to do, part of what we have to recognize is that maybe before we were so dependent on other people to move us toward Jesus, and that once that wasn't there anymore, then we drifted back. Maybe part of the repentance that we need to have is that we need to be more intentional about feeding ourselves, right? That we don't have to be as dependent on other people and more dependent on Christ himself. That we not be so dependent on the word of our brother or sister, but that we'll be absolutely dependent on the word of Jesus Christ into our lives. That we not just be worried, or we not be dependent on the words that come out of my mouth, but we would be absolutely dependent on the word of God itself, right? Maybe part of the repentance that we need to have is the change of focus of where it is that we are really gaining our spiritual growth. Ooh, that seems weird for a pastor to be saying that on our first week back, doesn't it? Whatever it is, maybe there were some really good spiritual habits that you were in before that you've just kind of gotten out of. And who knows, like again, I'm not trying to rain on your parade or anything. Maybe during COVID here, you've been able to actually grow closer to Jesus than you ever have before. Like, praise God. Like, please don't repent from that. Like, keep on going with the Lord. And when we come back into the building, like, please don't stop doing those things. Like, find a way to continue to build on that spiritual momentum. But if the drift has happened, then please recognize that Jesus is speaking into your life right now, and it's time to repent and move closer to him, to move in a new direction, to pursue him with everything you have. And then there in let me read verses 6 and 7 here. It says, but you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Which I think is just a funny little commentary to throw in there. That's really part of what they're doing well, in that there were some who were skewing how it is that you were supposed to be following Jesus there, and he was and it was being acknowledged here that you don't have to go that way, right? Verse 7 here, and here's what I really want to focus on now. Verse 7: whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, this is so important, catch this now. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. To the one who is victorious, you will have the right to eat of the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. See, church, I just want you to recognize that when we are obedient to this call for repentance, there is a benefit that comes to our lives for that. And it's not just a heavenly thing. Like, don't get me wrong. Like I think it's real clear to recognize here that when he's talking about eating of the tree of life, like this is a once this life is over and our eternal life begins, like we're able to eat of the tree of life there. But I just want you to know, church, that there is a tree of life that we get to eat from even here and now as well. Like, Jesus didn't die on the cross just so we could go to heaven. Somebody say amen real loud, please. Jesus did not just die on a cross just so we could go to heaven. He died on the cross that we might live redeemed, and that we might be changed, that we might be made new. Like, he didn't just die so we could be better. He died so that we could be reborn, that we could be made new. The old is gone and the new has come. Like, Jesus didn't, he, would not. Well, oh my goodness, let me slow down a little bit here. If all God was trying to accomplish was just a better us, Jesus didn't need to go to the cross for that. But if the goal is a brand new us, right? Where the old is gone and the new is come, like that, that's something worth dying for right there. Amen? Watch this now. Because if it's something worth dying for, then we need to die for it too. We need to put to death some things that Jesus is telling us we need to repent of. We need to put to death the old self. And over these last several months and everything, there might have been some old self that's been creeping up and everything. Or maybe that old self has been creeping up for a long time now. Whatever it is, we have to make sure that we're putting some things to death in the name of Jesus in order that we can live this abundant life that Jesus died for us to live. I want to invite the worship team to come on back up here. And I just wanted to let you know today, and again, I would encourage you, read through Revelation 2 and 3. See what Jesus said to the different churches there. But I just want you to know today is a great day to get back at it. Today is a great day to get back at it. Not just back at the building. Come on now. Not just back into live worship. Like, that's great and inspiring and all that kind of stuff. But wouldn't today be a great day to get back at it with Jesus? Like again, maybe this drift has only been happening since March. Maybe you recognize that, you know what? Like, ever since we've been online, things just haven't been the same and everything. And maybe there are some things that you need to kind of turn from there and kind of get things back right again. But maybe you recognize as well that there are some things that have not been right in your life for a long time now. Maybe you recognize this is not just a drift, but this is just an out and out going the wrong direction for a long time. And you know what? It needs to stop now. Today is a great day to get back at it with Jesus. I want you to know, if you listen, he's speaking into your heart and life right now. There are some good things in your life. And Jesus can call them out for you. I promise he can. But there are some other things that we need to give attention to so we can turn things the right way and get back at where we need to be with Jesus. Amen? Why don't you stand with us? We're going to sing a couple of songs in response here. However it is that God is speaking to your life, I just want you to surrender yourself to him now. Just pray even right where you are. Repent of that which is not where it needs to be. Let God work in your life.